Excuse me. I'd like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome everyone to the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group call. I'll go ahead and do a roll call, and then I know we don't have Jim Galvin yet, but we do have quite a number of work group members, so I would like to suggest that perhaps we can go ahead and try to, start some work and see if Jim can join us, and of course I'll take notes as usual. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening. On the call we have from the IRD Working Group, Bob Hutchinson, Avery Doria, Steve Metalitz, Owen Smigelski, and from staff we have Steve Sheng, Dave Piscitello, and myself, Julie Headland, and also, sorry not to mention sooner, Natalie Peregrine, and thank you, Natalie, for setting up the call. And with that, I guess my thought for today was that we had sent around the comments that were received in the public forum. There were four comments. I hope you received the email message with the comments. Did anyone not receive the email? Then perhaps what we can do is begin to go through the comments one by one and see how the work group might like to address them. Just a little note about the public comment process. It's changed a little bit recently, and what's happened is that normally in the past, the staff would prepare a summary and analysis of the comments received. Now the emphasis is on the community to provide the analysis of the comments received. Staff can, of course, take that analysis and put it into the proper report format that needs to be published in the forum. But for community working groups, it's important, of course, for us to get the community working group comments on response to the comments received, if any. There isn't a requirement necessarily to respond to each comment, but the working group members really should comments and, get a sense of, how they may or may not want to address them. So that's the process we're in now, and the idea is to try to complete this process pretty quickly if we can, because the sooner we can publish the report, the better, as part of the public forum process. Are there any questions with respect to the process?
Yeah, this is Steve Metalitz.
Yes, please go ahead, Steve.
Did I hear correctly that the staff, here we only have four comments, so it's not a big issue, but in some public comment forums, there are dozens or hundreds of comments. Are you saying the staff will no longer prepare summaries?
No, that's not what I was saying, and thank you for that. What I was saying is that the analysis, there's basically two parts to the template now that we use to prepare the summary and analysis. There is the summary portion, which staff will do, and in this case, I'll take a first draft at the summary, which is really just summarizing the comments and run that by Dave and Steve to make sure I haven't missed anything. But the analysis is really the piece that's important to get the working group participation in. It doesn't mean that staff won't, write up whatever the final version of that is that gets slotted into the report. But in particular, we need to know, does the work group think, it needs to address a particular comment? Is the comment germane? How might we address it? Might it result in changes to the draft report or not? That's where we need a staff, your guidance. So that will then be funneled into the template that we use to produce the summary analysis report.
Okay.
That staff will produce.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Sure. No, thanks for your question. Any other questions?
So we're going to start discussing this, and then you're going to do a summary later?
We just got the comments. The summary is just – basically, the summary is just there were four comments. This is basically what each one said, summarizing very high-level you know, this was favorable, this was not. It's not an analysis at all. There's absolutely no analysis in that piece. It's just four comments. You know, this one said that, you know, this one said that, this one said that. I mean, if you prefer, we can produce that summary. But the fact of the matter is that summary isn't going to necessarily address every single detail that's in the comments, which is something really the work group has to do, is take a look at the comments and read them and say, well, you know, we agree with this or we don't agree with that, or we want to deal with this or deal with that. I'm afraid if you take the summary, you know, if staff produces a summary, you know, and we lose some of the detail, there might be details that we need to address that aren't in the summary, you know, but are in the actual comments. The summary is meant to be very brief.
Yeah, okay. I don't think it's an issue in this one because there's only four comments. So, I suppose in one in which there are many, many public comments, then the summary takes on it.
Right, and, you know, and I think that was the case. You know, Avery, you probably could mention, too, you know, on something like the PDP process, I think there was a great deal of comment, a great deal of detail, and you know, a need for more summarization of all of that. In the interest of being expedient, you know, we were thinking that why don't we just go ahead since there are only four comments and deal with them this way. I think it really does depend, Steve, on, you know, how many comments you have and, you know, what is the, you know, what the issues are there.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions? Okay, so I'm going to turn things over to Steve. Okay, and I see we have a note from Jim. Steve, why don't you go ahead and get started? I'm going to respond to Jim here. It looks like now he does have a conflict.
Sure, Julie. So perhaps we could go through those comments one by one. Since there are only four comments, so it shouldn't take us too long. There are several substantive comments from INTA and also the message anti-abuse working group that does deserve careful consideration. So are people okay that we start with the ALAC comment, since it's the first on the email? Hearing no objections, you can pull up the ALAC comment from either the public forum or the email that Julie sent out. So I went through, first of all, let me give us a minute or two to read through this comment. I did read through this a couple of times.
We don't have an Adobe room, do we?
No, we have not used an Adobe room for this call, so we've never had one established.
Okay,
well,
perhaps
this ALAC comment seems to be supporting the three recommendations. I guess we should note that. I mean, obviously that doesn't call for any change in the report or any response, does it?
Yes, I agree with you, Steve. Yeah, it's... it's supporting the recommendations in the IRD report. Any other thoughts on the ALEC comments? So you suggested that we noted of their support in the summary analysis. Any other thoughts on how to address ALEC's comments?
Hi, this is Samad. Just wanted to point out that there's a reference to RAA, which is something which I'm not sure we've addressed explicitly in our report.
So in the report, in one of the sections, when we talk about what is registration data, we pull out the relevant requirements from the RAA. I believe it's section 3.3. Is that enough for this purpose, or do we need to go further in the summary analysis?
Actually, I'm just trying to understand what ALAC's perspective is as far as their reference to RAA is concerned. What are they trying to say in this particular comment? So they're saying we have consistently supported the implementation of WHO service within the spirit of the existing RAA. So I'm actually not sure what that really means.
I'm not sure either. Any others have thoughts on that? It's the second paragraph of ALAC's comment.
Well, this is Steve Metalitz. I can. The only insight I have on this is that I chaired a drafting team in the GNSO that worked on identifying topics for revisions to the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, and ALAC was quite active in that group and stressed the importance of steps to increase the accuracy of WHOIS data and to make it to regulate proxy services and so forth. So that may be a reference to that. I'm not sure. I don't think there's anything there that we necessarily need to take on board in this group because ultimately, whatever is finally decided down the road here presumably would be reflected in the Registrar Accreditation Agreement or some other document that sets forth what registrars are required to do, if they're required to do something different in the environment. So I don't know if that's exactly what they were referring to, but I was just offering that degree of insight to what they might be talking about there.
This is Aubrey.
Go ahead, Aubrey.
Yeah, just to build on that, I think what they're basically saying is, you know, this is something that would make WHOIS better, and in many ways, ALAC has always been, you know, whether it's what got euphemistically called the aspirational registrants' rights, and other issues like that, ALAC has always been supportive of this kind of effort, and their support for this fits into their history of support, so basically linking it historically to ALAC principles of, you know, who is being fully useful and their other goals. So, yeah, I would agree with what, and I don't see that it calls for any particular response from this group. I think, you know, just thanking and acknowledging, you know, their support is sufficient. There's nothing in what they wrote that requires a change. And so it's really just a thank you situation. I think I agree.
This is Owen. I fully agree with that as well.
Okay. Thank you so much for raising this. And for Steve and Aubrey and Owen for expressing the opinion. So what I'm hearing is there's no specific actions on the RAA, but merely thank and note ALAC on this. Is that the correct summary of the opinion here?
Yes, this is Steve. That sounds right to me.
Okay, so we'll go with that. Any other comments and thoughts on the ALAC? Hearing none, we will go to the second comment.
I just want to let you all know that I've been going back and forth with Jim, and I have to say I apologize. I misunderstood when I talked to him Friday. He does have a conflict today, but he's going to go ahead and read the notes and, you know, and see if there's any comments. I did indicate to him that we're going to try to address sort of the easiest or most straightforward comments first on this call, and then we'll schedule a subsequent call, you know, for comments we don't get to today.
Okay, sure. So can we go to the INTA comment? That's the second comment from Julie's email. Let's pull up that. And let's also spend a few minutes.
Steve, you might want to summarize your sense of you know, what.
Sure.
How you thought it was.
Yeah, I read through the INTA comment, and the key comment is the INT urges the work, the recommendations be conducted expeditiously to basically as soon as possible, given the pending, you know, new GCLD program. That's my key sense of it. And then it goes through each of the recommendations. But let's give it a minute for the working group members to comment on it.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure how we answer something that says, yes, we agree with the steps that you've proposed, now work on it quickly, other than to say, you know, again, thanks, and yeah, we hope it can be done. I mean, I'm not sure what this group gets to say about doing it expeditiously. I don't know.
This is Dave. I actually think we can sort of call attention to some of the other activity in the IETF WIRDS group and the work that FSAC has indicated it will be doing in its SAC number 51 report, and it, you know, illustrate that, you know, that we are in fact doing everything within the realm of what is quick in a standards and, you know, and community, multi-stakeholder community environment to find a resolution. And so I agree with you. There are some things we can say that indicate we haven't just written the report and are going to set it aside.
Right. Yeah, that's true. You guys are doing a lot. And the issues reports are probably going to be, you know, worked on by staff expeditiously. It's getting to the policy questions in question one that it's still tough to predict. But, yeah. Sounds good.
Okay. So what I'm hearing, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just wanted to jump in since I was involved with the drafting of this comment on behalf of INTA. I think the concern was they looked and saw that the working group had been, goodness, I think almost 2 years in the working to get this report and identifying the issues, and they certainly appreciated the work. Their concern was that, you know, there would be a report and then this kind of things would languish and not really move forward. And I think they just wanted to highlight and draw attention and make sure that there was some sort of focus moving forward, and this wasn't just going to be something that, you know, the report came out and that was it. So I think that was really the only concern. They just wanted to make sure that things would continue to move forward with some sort of internationalization of this.
Right, and that was Owen, right?
Yes, that was.
I agree.
Thank you, Owen, for that clarification. In that case, in light of that clarification, perhaps in what they suggest is sufficient.
Yeah, no, I think what Dave raised, I certainly think that would be good to show what else is going on, you know, and what could be expected to happen in the future after this report. Would certainly I think be a good idea to point out, just so that people know that there is other things going on. This report isn't, even though it is a final report, there's already other things that have come out of this report, and things are moving forward.
This is Steve Metalitz. I'd agree with that, but I'd also say, you know, if you look at our three recommendations, There's two that are directed to the staff and two that are directed, one that's directed to GNSO and the SSAC. And I think we would agree, I think we should say we agree with what Inta is saying, that it's important to expedite this work. So we would underscore to the recipients of our recommendations that we think they need to move as expeditiously as possible.
Okay, so Steve, you're suggesting in the analysis, we say we agree with the comment and ask staff to move expeditiously on this.
Yeah, and also the GNSO and the ESA, because one of our recommendations is directed to them.
Okay. Sure. I'm perfectly fine with that. Okay, any other comments? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, this
go ahead.
Is Avi. I've got one other comment on that, and I think that comes out from that. And I think, you know, to the extent that the IRD group is still in existence, I think the IRD group saying, you know, that it's continued to following these things insofar as making sure that they've gotten to the GNSO and the SSAC and so on. So, I mean, I think perhaps if it's reasonable and valid to add that, you know, for so long as the IRD group is still doing its work, it'll periodically check and see what's happening, if that makes sense to people.
What do people think of Avery's suggestion? Avery, if I understand correctly, you're saying the IRD can be dormant but can check periodically on the progress.
It certainly can, yes.
This is Julie. Avery, that's an interesting and I think helpful suggestion, because one of the things that this group will need to think about, I think, is you know, this report, the final version, will go before the SSAC and before the GNSO. And the GNSO Council, in approving the report, if it does so, you know, there'll be a motion. And conceivably, the motion could specifically say that, you know, the IRD working group, you know, shall continue, you know, to monitor these efforts. Because sometimes, you know, when a work is completed, you know, and the GNSO Council says thanks and we accept this report or whatever, then, you know, then the GNSO Council has the option to disband a group. But we could conceivably in the motion specifically say that the group should remain, you know, constituted and have, you know, an additional monitoring role.
Hello?
Yeah, who did we lose? Did we lose?
I'm still here.
This is Steve Metalitz. I think that's I'd want to think about that suggestion a little bit more. There's a lot of groups now within ICANN working on something related to this issue, and I don't know whether the problem is that we don't have enough groups that are active on it. I think the problem may be the opposite, that we have too many groups and not enough focus. So I'm not sure that keeping another group in existence for the purpose of monitoring action on its recommendations is a good one, but I guess I'd like to think about that.
This is Avery.
Julie. Yeah, go ahead, Avery. Sorry,
I hadn't actually thought I was suggesting that, and I think what I had mistakenly thought was this group still had other work to do, and that while it was doing its other work, it would periodically check back. I hadn't actually thought through to the fact that this group had no other work to do, and once it finished this final report, it was blinking out of existence. And if that's the case, I think I'd have to say what Steve said, and I'd have to think about whether there was enough work for this group to do. For example, would this group get involved in reviewing the data model that the staff was coming out with? Is that something that this group would even be competent of doing, you know, and so on. So I think I would have to agree with Steve. My thought was that we still had some work to do, but I wasn't paying attention to our charted work items, and that while we were doing that other work, we could take side trips to make sure that this was still going on. But I agree with Steve that in terms of taking another group and turning it into a tracking group, unless there's some work for it to do, I'm not sure how that would work.
Right, and this is Julie. Just to confirm that This group was envisioned to be disbanded at once the report is approved. I mean, if the report is approved by the ESSAC and the GNSO Council, there is not any other work for this group to do unless it is tasked with other work by the GNSO or the ESSAC.
Okay, that was my mistake.
No, not at all, and I should have made that more clear.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is we may not want this work group to keep track of the progress, but we do want to, in the summary analysis, stress that we agree with this comment and think this is important work for the community that should be moved expeditiously. Is that a correct summary?
This is Julie. Steve, I just want to make sure, because I'm not sure if I understood you. I think the suggestion from Avery and Steve is that, you know, they would want to think about whether or not the IRDWG should, you know, continue in existence, you know, to be tasked to monitor work or otherwise. And I don't think we need to address that issue in the comments. So I think you're right in what you said, is that, you know, we would thank the INTA and indicate that, you know, we do agree with them, you know, the work group agrees with them that this work should be, you know, should be expedited, and to call attention to the other activity that is continuing in relation to the recommendations, that is the IETF WIRDS group and the SAC 51 recommendations.
Yes, that's exactly what I meant. So, yeah, I fully agree with you. So maybe we can move on to the three recommendations in the discussion section. That is on page 2.
Well, I thought we had dealt with this. They're supporting recommendation 2 and 3. And there's the importance quickly to make progress on all these. So that the only thing that's specific here is the paragraph about language tags, and I think they're agreeing with us there, but I would defer to others about whether that requires any specific response.
I agree with you. I think the current report already covers the language tag issue, unless others felt it hasn't. Okay, so any other thoughts on the INTA's recommendations?
Hi, this is Saman. Just one question, and that is concerning the language tag. Is that something which the WIRDS group is going to pick up, or is that something which is going to be done or the initiative somewhere within ICANN structure?
Summer, my understanding was, as part of the data model work, that is recommendation 1, they need to select, what IFC to use for the language tag. And there are RFCs for tagging language and scripts. So that's my understanding. At this point, it's unclear what the WIRDS group will pick up, but that's a good question that we need to keep in contact, close contact with IETF on that.
And Steve, you might emphasize, and I think this relates to what Dave said too, we can emphasize in our analysis that the ESSAC does have a work party that is working with the IETF on the data model piece of the recommendation.
Okay. Sounds good.
Samad,
does that address your question, Samad?
So I'm actually not still clear. So is this language tag requirement something which is officially put up by ICANN, or is this something which needs to be put up officially by ICANN through some policy process, or where are we on this? So it's something which is in the report in IRDWG, but does that really mean that it's an official request to a weird to Weirds group from ICANN?
Oh, I see. I'm trying to understand. So what you're saying is this language tag is suggested in the IRD report, but how does it end up
as a requirement?
It ends up as a requirement. Yes. Okay.
There's multiple steps here. So the one step is actually to to come up with a data model and and get at least some community exposure to something like an XML data model and schema that includes language tags and character set tags as part of the schema for those fields that the IRD has, or those elements that the IRD has identified as candidates for internationalization. After that model is put together, and hopefully we'll have that soon, there needs to be some socialization, not only from the perspective of are these the right fields and is this the right way to tag, and have is the model complete, but also for scrutiny among people who are experts in XML to make certain that the data model and schema make sense. So then, if we get through those two, or when we get through those two stages, the next stage would be to get some cooperation in the IETF in parallel with work that goes on in ICANN to have have that standard be or that document, which would be an internet draft, move towards some sort of standards track activity. So the same thing is going on for data models that are being discussed for the regional internet registries in the Weirds group. So in some respects, what we have to do is try to track these things so that they work together, culminate in a single set of schema appropriate for IP address registries and for domain name registries. And then there's got to be a policy process at some point that would identify that schema as the, hopefully the single uniform schema that registries, registrars, and in both GTLD and CCTLD would adopt.
Okay.
Sarmad, this is Julie. Does that answer your question?
So, I guess my question is: this is a necessary condition, but is it a sufficient condition to just point this out in IRDWG and just leave it there for this to happen? Or what is needed to be done to ensure that it goes through the process it needs to go through?
So this is Julie. The IRD's task is to produce the report, which it has done the draft final report. The process now is that the work group members look at the analyze the comments and decide how or whether to address them, and that becomes part of the summary and analysis report that gets posted in the public forum. And then of course the other piece of that is for the work group to decide whether or not it will revise the final report. And then submit that final version to the ESSAC and to the GNSO Council to approve. At that point, unless the IRD working group is tasked with additional work from the ESSAC or the GNSO Council, there is no other role for the IRD working group. That is, once its report is approved by the ESSAC and the GNSO Council, the IRD working group will disband unless it is given other tasks. But as we've noted, work is continuing in other areas, and in particular, the ESAC has picked up a piece, a couple of pieces of these recommendations as follow-on work. One is the data model that Dave mentioned, and that is an ESAC work party that is working on that piece. There also is the larger work plan, or I'm sorry, roadmap that the board has directed staff to work with the community on, and that relates to SAC 51 and the WHO IS taxonomy and structure. So that's another piece. So these are moving in other areas, but unless the IRD is tasked to follow or monitor this work, this group will disband once the report is final and approved.
So just a follow-up question. So I guess so we're putting in a requirement that the language tag should be added to the data model. I guess just to sort of dwell on this a little longer, should it be just language tag or should it also be a script tag along with a language tag, because a language can be written in multiple scripts? So those sort of issues, again, there needs to be a forum which needs to discuss this out and really stipulate this. And again, as I said, I'm not really clear whether the requirements should be coming from ICANN or IETF, because IETF may actually be working on formalizing those requirements. But, you know, again, a thought is that ICANN actually should be giving those requirements, or some constituency within ICANN. But then the question is, who's really going to be working on those requirements?
Samar, so in the recommendation, in the recommendation, it says the data model specifically calls out need to include the language, a tag for language and scripts. So I think the mandate is there. So you raise an interesting question about, you know, is it, you know, language text by language by script, and what forums are there for those discussions? I would suggest probably, you know, ASAC will be this place, and also when the staff or whatever, you know, whoever implements the recommendations from this report, that needs to involve in a kind of a consultation process. That involves the community members in coming up with that data model. So presumably by then, at that stage, that's where input like the ones that you raised will come into play.
So I have a question for Samad. You use the term script, and to be honest, when I have been talking to people who are processing processing XML, they're always talking about a language tag and a character set. No one has actually shown me a schema that actually has script as one of the tags. And so my understanding of the way that things like the Google Translate API works is that it processes the combination of character set and language, and then determines whether or not it knows enough to transliterate. And then if it doesn't know enough to transliterate, it determines whether or not it's able to do translation, and then it returns your result. And so the way most web pages are rendered, you know, using when they use the Google API, is that you've got language and character set tag, and that's, you know, that's the same tag in theory that we would, or tag set in theory that we would use for registration data. And that's what the user would submit. Then, if you're going to render it in a language other than the originally submitted language, run through Google API as an example, saying here's the XML, here are the language tags that associated that the user associated with XML, and then here's the target language that the browser wants, and you either transliterate or you translate. There's a fair amount of sophistication that already exists in some of the APIs. Google is the only one that I've done any sort of examination with. But I haven't seen anything yet that talks about scripts.
Dave, I think this is an excellent question, but I wonder if this is, we're going to, you know, going to more the implementation of the recommendations here. I think the focus is we're trying to see whether, you know, we need to address it in the summary analysis.
Well, the reason I mention this is because I'm admittedly clumsy between character sets, scripts, and languages, but you know, I just wanted to understand whether Sarmat was asking for a third kind of tag that I haven't seen yet.
Sarmat, do you have a quick response?
Yeah, sure. So character set may actually come from multiple scripts. And so if you're looking at a language table, for example, it may not be possible to determine what exactly the script is. It's not easily possible to determine what the script is. One can obviously guess at it, but if one can define a script specifically, that just makes it easier. Inherently have script information in it, in any case.
I think this deserves more attention than on this phone call, because I personally would like to understand those differences as well. Would it possible, if I may suggest, that we take this conversation specific offline, but we do need to continue this between the three of us and anyone who are interested. Is that okay?
Yeah, this is Julie. Sarmat, I would suggest that it would be very helpful if you had something that you wanted to send to the IRD working group list that we could all look at, because it may be something that we might want to consider including in a revision to the final report. And I think we're going to have another call specifically on any changes we might want to make to the final report. So I think this is very important to call out.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. Any other comments on the INTA report that we need to address? Okay, hearing none. We have about 10 minutes left. If I could suggest, we come back to the message in abuse comment next week, because there are several of the substantive issues that does need to address, and I'm afraid that we are running out of time. So if possible, if we can come to the last comment, that is from the IETF WIRS working group.
This comment actually seems to be from someone named Alessandro Vaselli.
Julie, I think he was commenting. My sense, he was commenting on behalf of the WIRS.
Well, probably not on behalf of the WIRS, the participant in the WIRS, yeah.
Thank you, Steve, for that clarification.
Yeah.
I think looks like Dave posted this on the WIRS list, and he responded to that, but anyway.
Yes.
Steve, do you want to summarize quickly what you your sense of this comment?
Well, the comment is talking about the four models is suggesting must be present to may be present, because it's saying the must be present should be the local representation, and may be present will be the permitting ASCII to the extent allowed and supported by the registrars. So I actually agree with him. What does the working group think?
This is Steve Metallis. Isn't this similar to what I think Sarmad suggested when we first had comments on this on these four models a while back, and that is that maybe we don't need a must-be-present script. I thought that was, we kind of took that on board as an option, but I may be wrong about that. But weren't we also seeking, didn't we, isn't that something, for example, that the issues report that we're calling for might address?
Yes. But I think here he's saying the must be present is must be the local representation. In our report, when we talk about must be present, we're talking about a almost a like it should always be in. So he's just saying must is too strong. So
well, I think what he's saying is that there wouldn't be any single script that would be required to be present across the entire universe, which is different from the four models. The four models all assume that there would be, and then the question is who's required to come up with that, who's required to present that if the registrant doesn't. So I think he's suggesting that he says the must should be for the local representation. I'm not sure what that means, but even if it means that each registrar or each TLD, I'm not clear, would decide which script must be present, then there's no longer a single type of script that must be present across the entire spectrum. So I think
I understand it differently. So here's how I understand it. So, for example, let's say an Arabic or a Chinese registered domain name, he put his information first of all in Arabic or in Chinese. That is a must be present, right? So it's a local representation, and then And then he defined may be present, meaning if registrar or registry policy allow, maybe have an ASCII version of that registration data, and he called that may be present. That's how I understand his comments.
Well, but it still would be the case. This is Steve Metalitz again. I think it would still be the case then if that registrant provided the data in Arabic script, that wouldn't mean that all other registrations and all other TLDs had to be an Arabic script. So there wouldn't be any single script that would be required across the board.
This is Dave. This is Katal. I think that Alexander was interpreting must much more literally than we printed in the report. I envision that registrars are probably going to support multiple local lines. Think of trying to be a registrar and providing registration services for people who live in Switzerland. I mean, most people there speak three languages, four languages, five. They should be able to choose which of those that they're most comfortable with, and it can't come. Who knows? So any of those would be appropriate if the registrar provides it as the local representation, because that's what the user intended to submit. And if he also says you can default to ASCII, if you can type it in, in ASCII in a way that is a legal representation. So I there's a big conflict here. We can probably answer this relatively straightforwardly, and I think Steve Metalitz interpretation is not wrong. I think it's well within what he intended.
This is Armand. I think the issue which has been raised here is the quantity of the requirement. So if suppose a registrar is incorporated in a country, where the country requires data or the official language of the country is a local language, then a registrant may actually object to a registrar requiring data in ASCII or English, because that's sort of contrary to the local regulations. And so we could put the registrar, this requirement in conflict as far as the registrar is concerned.
So this is Julie. My question is, and maybe we should pick this up at the next call. We'll need to decide how we want to address this comment. Is there something that we would want to change in the report? Do we, see this as a favorable comment or not? But since we only have a couple minutes left, I guess I have the question for this group, and that is, would people be able to meet at the same time for another call next week to continue the discussion on the comments and how to address them?
This is Owen. That works for me.
Let me rephrase it. Is there anyone who cannot be on the call next week? So this is Julie. I'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and we'll set up a call for next week at this time. Jim and Jabber with me today confirm that he's available at this time next week, and we'll continue this discussion on the comments, starting with this comment from Alessandro and then also going for the MAAWG comments. And in the meantime, I'll send around some notes today based on what we discussed in today's call.
Julie, before we go, can I quickly summarize what I heard from today?
Please go ahead, Steve.
Regarding the ALAC comment, it's overwhelmingly positive. We simply note their comments and their support for the recommendations. For the INTA comment, it is also positive. We note and regarding their timeline and their request for addressing these comments, addressing this issue expeditiously. And in the summary analysis, we'll say, we know this and agree that this is an important issue for the community. And we also note other activities along the lines related to it. Regarding the WIRS, also regarding the INTA comment, we have a discussion on the language tag, script tag, and also encoding tag. And Samart is going to send an email to the IRD list. I personally would like to be educated on the subtle distinctions of the three. So Samart, if you could do that, I would personally really appreciate that. On the WIRDS comments, it seems to me this is something we have to pick up in the last call as well as the MOG working group. So that's just what I call. Yeah.
Julie, thank you, Steve. Is there anything anybody wants to say before we close the call? Then thank you, everybody, and we'll look forward to talking to you next Monday, the 28th, at the same time, which is 1600 UTC, and I'll be sending some notes shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, and Operator and Nathalie, let's please go ahead and adjourn the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.